The second chapter of Philippians has a passage of scripture that is very familiar, at least the part of it that we oftentimes hear and whatnot. And I'm going to just go to the next verse after the verse that we so often hear. The verse that we hear so much is verses 12 and 13. I read them. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The next verse is the one that I want to get to, and the verses that are connected to it, just following it. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. That's a rather precise expression. It says something mighty plainly. Do all things. We've heard so much about the other two verses, and sometimes the emphasis may be exaggerated somewhat, especially in the expression, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. A person can almost get an absolute view out of that verse if you are not careful. That's the reason why I want to be sure to see the verse that follows it. Help to get the understanding of the truth. When we have the expression that all things that are worked out, for is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure, when we get the idea, if we get the idea, that God does the work, we've missed the text. The text is connected with working out your own salvation. It is true that the to will and the to do is invoked in God's working in you. It's there to do and to will and to do his good pleasure. It's there. But the question mark is getting it done. It makes it sound like it's just going to happen regardless. It looks like that way almost. But the very next verse improves the idea of our responsibility. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. If it was going to be worked out anyhow, how in the world, if God's doing it, it got mixed up with disputings and with murmurings? God is not murmuring. God is not disputing. You and I might, but we're encouraged not to do it that way. We're encouraged to do it without murmuring. It's the individual that's under consideration of doing things. Do it without murmuring and without disputings. That raises the good question. Which way are you doing it? Are you doing it the way God says to do it, without murmuring and disputings? Or do you wind up maybe with a little touch of murmuring and disputing? We sometimes have a song that says, I am a great complainer. Do you ever do any complaining? Complaining is really murmuring against. That's what it really is when you complain. Who is it among us who has not complained a little sometimes? Who is it among us who has not sometimes murmured just a little bit? I dare say there's hardly a preacher that you'll find but what will wind up doing a little bit of murmuring about the time he starts. As the old saying goes when we discuss things, the weather, you know, it's never right. It's always just a little bit too hot, a little bit too cold, a little bit something. We can't talk about it without having a little bit of fault. And I dare say that it's very difficult to preach a sermon without finding a little bit of fault from our standpoint. That's the reason why we have to do a lot of praying. Lord, help me. I've often thought, I've never considered myself as being very gifted with prayer anyway, but I've often thought, the way I'm situated, I could make my prayer just this, Lord, help. And if you let it just run wild, there's anything about it but what I need help. Lord, help. Murmuring and complaining is out, but we find it difficult for keeping it out. I want to read the next verse. This is what's going to be the result when you keep it out. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We want to make real sure we get this point right. This is not talking about how it'll be in heaven. This is talking about how it's going to be here on earth. Amen. When God's children do like they ought to do, without murmuring and complaining, it'll make them to be the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God, blameless and harmless right now. And we do need to have that kind of appearance so we would show ourselves to be what we are. We are God's children by birth. We need to be more God's children by practice. And doing that will be without murmuring and complainings, that you may be blameless and harmless. I'm going to take time out just to give a lesson. I don't know when I learned the lesson, but years ago, in my early days of ministry, I had a desire to know a little bit more about Greek. I had the desire. I went to a lot of effort. I actually wound up buying a little Greek Testament, and it was also the kind of good side, an interlinear. It had the English right in there along with the Greek. helped me tremendously. But I really wanted to learn Greek. I had an opportunity to take a course on tape. It lasted about a year. It covered the little book that I had. The teacher lived in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He happened to be a Protestant Reformed minister. Canons of Dort would be his main thing. Very similar to what we believe. This fellow agreed to teach it using cassette tape. So every week we'd be exchanging tapes. He insisted that I do something I never to get done. He insisted that I read the Greek, and not only read it, but say it too. And saying it too, my natural English just didn't fit Greek. I tried it hard, but just never did. But I did learn two or three things. Right in this sentence is a little word that we have in English. It's spelled T-H-A-T. It's some kind of a conjunction introducing noun clauses, something like that, as far as English is concerned. But in Greek, this same word, that, it's got two different words. I'm going to talk about one of them. One of them is spelled I-N-A. It's pronounced as though it was H-I-N-A, Hina. It's a Greek expression introducing a Greek clause. And this is my lesson to you. Those of you that have a computer at home, on your somewhere in it, you can kind of place to put a title down for something to look up the meaning of. I want you, if you're interested, write in it Greek, hyna, I-N-A, clause. New Testament, Greek, hyna, clause, C-L-A-U-S-E. And just come what come up. Study what comes up, if it does. Now, my particular computer had something to come up, and I believe yours will too. Interesting what it has to come up. I might throw this in just for the fun of it. You can also find, if you read in the Bible very far with the Greek part of it, you'll find that sometimes has another word that's used besides the I-N-A. I'm not interested in that. But if you read the 16th chapter of St. John and had it in the Greek interlinear, you'd find almost every verse in it to have a I-N-A clause. I'm saying all that to get the point. This verse has the hyna clause here, and whatever that means, it flavors the meaning a little bit more than the other one would if it was given. This is something I learned way back, and I've lost a lot of things that I learned then, but this one sort of stuck because of what all it says about the hyna clause. I want you to just study it sometime. And I might just show this for fun. There's a hyna clause in John 3:16. It'd be interesting if you want to really know some things, you can read the hyna in John 3:16 also. But I'm not here just to tell you that it has purpose involved in it, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I want to be shining as a light, if possible. I want to avoid the murmurings and the disputings, if I can. Sometimes, a little while, maybe I can. Although I have to do a lot of praying, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me. And doing this, as the sentence continues, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. This is what the apostle was saying to these people at Philippi, that if you do all these things without murmuring, then I'll be happy as a result. What minister who ministers the word of God would feel any other way? When he's successful, when he can get the congregation to fall in line, to do all things without murmurings or complaining, he certainly feels better as the end result of it. And the church also feels better as the end result of it. This is the kind of lesson that I need to be reviewed in my life day by day. I need to be reminded that what I do is to be done without rebuke, without fault-finding, without the expressions that's given here, that we might do that in such a way that we would be shown to be the children of God. It's not what it does to get you born. It's what you get to do after you're born. And having been born of God, let's be careful to put aside these kinds of things and to do all things without murmuring and complaining. Appreciate that time and opportunity to be here. And just a joy to get to say these words and to have a remote feeling deep inside that maybe somebody would even take occasion to look up Hannah in the Greek just to find a little about what it means. I close with that.